Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis, and it's Genesis the 9th chapter. Genesis the 9th chapter. This is the Old Testament lesson for the first Sunday in Advent. I'm sorry, first Sunday in Lent. Genesis the 9th chapter. And there I want to read verses 9 through 17. Will you receive these words? As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as he came out of the ark. Establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off from the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy all the earth. God said, this is a sign of the covenant that I make between you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature and of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all the flesh that is on the earth. That 17th verse again. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all the flesh of the earth. From this scripture, this topic this morning, faith and water. Faith and water. Let us pray together. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable within your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. It was said that two prisoners whose cells were adjoining were able to communicate with each other by knocking on the wall. Knocking on the wall that separated them. Some thought it was very peculiar, but it was their only form and means of communication. Communication. It takes on many forms today. But still, sometimes we get the message and we're trying to understand. We find ourselves saying, I never got your email. My cell phone just won't work from here. The fax machine is broken. Sometimes we find ourselves just needing to talk to each other. It is not impossible, but it is work. By this I mean conversation and communication at its best requires a relationship. On this first Sunday of Lent, and throughout this Lenten season, our passages of Scripture will point to relationships that God was trying to have with humanity. In our Genesis passage, this relationship was placed in the language of covenant. Covenant, by definition, means a binding pact or a compact. But to take it one step further, as you talk about definition of covenant, it is God's definition with God and humanity. Somehow, it is that the stipulations are set by God. And throughout the Old Testament, the promise is made. The promise is made that if you can keep these things, then I will bless you. I will bless your crops. I will bless the fruit of the land. I will bless you with large families. I will bless you with good health. From those who would try to harm you, you would be protected. I will protect you from anyone who would try to hurt you. But if the people cannot keep the covenant, if they cannot keep their relationship, then the same hand that wanted to bless them would be a curse to them. I think what is difficult for us to understand today is that the covenant is straight across the board. We today are used to negotiating. Some of you may remember that program, The Price is Right. Do you remember that? I haven't seen the updated version yet, but I remember The Price is Right with Bob Barker, and I remember him saying, is it door number one? Is it door number two? Is it door number three? And even sitting at home when I knew I wasn't going to win any prize at all, but I would be there saying, it's door number one. There's something about alternatives. That's what we're used to. But in the covenant, God has outlined a plan, and humanity cannot offer alternatives. Instead, we have a choice. This is the way it has been from the beginning, that we are free. Free to think, free to choose, free to search, free to seek. We can choose to withdraw and to live in isolation. We are free to live. We can choose to live as persons who know of the mercy of God, and in our life, we can choose. We can choose to live as if we need God. Or we can choose to say, I don't need anybody. Let's take it a little further. I would not want to be created without free will. I would not want to be created without free will. For in this freedom, there is the possibility of growth. In this freedom, there is the possibility of creativity and discipleship. I would not want to change this freedom. But what is the tool? What is the tool to be able then to do the right thing? Yes, 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 we are free. We have a choice we can make. We are free. Then what becomes the tool that would allow us to choose what is the right thing? Let me suggest that it is faith. It is faith. For this is what Noah had. This is what Noah had, and he had to keep his faith in front of them. For God says to Noah, I want you to build a boat. I want you to build a boat. I want you to build a boat. What is the problem with this challenge? Noah, I want you to build a boat on dry land. I want you to build a boat on dry land. And the scripture perhaps doesn't make it as plain, or the commentaries don't perhaps make it as plain, but to build this boat is not to be overnight, but it will take 120 years to build this boat on dry land. We're talking about patience here, aren't we? What was that old prayer? Lord, grant me patience, and I want it right now. Can you imagine the ridicule? Can you imagine the name calling? Can you imagine all of what it was that Noah had to endure? Can you imagine those moments of doubt? I can picture him laying in bed at night, wondering, what am I doing? Building a boat on dry land. I can wonder and imagine his children coming to him and saying, Dad, what are we doing? There's not a cloud in the sky. What are we doing building a boat on dry land? Maybe what Noah could not realize at this point was God was offering time. God was giving and extending time for the people to turn around, for the people to turn around and to be able to keep the covenant that God was extending to them. God was giving them time. But the people would not change. Finally, the flood waters come and all of creation is destroyed. And Noah and his family is preserved. And the covenant established by God is saying, I will find some other way. For you see, there was another flood. There was another flood that was running rampant. And that flood was the flood of sin and evil. And God is saying, I'll find another way. Humanity is still free. Humanity still has choices to make. God still does not care and tolerate, and will not care and tolerate sin. But God says, in dealing with it now, I'll find another way. And so the rainbow is set in the clouds. And God wanted to set it there to be able to remind God's self. The water will not be used in this way. So God will keep God's promise. When I was working on this message, I couldn't help but think about Katrina. I couldn't help but think about it. And all the pictures that were seen and all the destruction that was seen. And this week, talking about some thought they knew that the levees could not hold back the storm, could not hold back the water. I couldn't help but think about it. And then to think all the damage that water is able to do. And yet God says, I will not destroy the earth or creation with water anymore. And God says, I will keep God's promise. I will keep my promise. I will remember. And I will set the rainbow in the clouds. I will remember. This is God's promise. What allows us to receive then the promise of God? I believe that faith needs to be our mantra today. I believe that faith is something that we must hold on to today. Bishop Williman described faith as this. He said, discipleship is more than turning over a new leaf. We must submit to change. If we should be formed into this crucified, cruciform faith. I wanted us to hear that. Discipleship is more than just turning over a new leaf. I wanted us to hear that because sometimes that's what we assign to the first of the year, don't we? I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Sometimes it's what we assign to the beginning of Lent. I'm going to start this journey, and so I'm going to turn over a new leaf. But discipleship is more than that. For discipleship is about accepting and believing and having faith. I read this prayer this week and I wanted to share a part of this with you. It said, Lent is no Sunday school picnic. It is the challenge to choose the road less traveled. We travel with God. This faith becomes a way of saying, I will have water within my life. But this water becomes the water of baptism. This water begins to say to us that yes, I've been washed. That yes, I've been cleansed. That yes, I'm experiencing a new kind of purity within my life. This water says, I have been baptized. You know by now, because I think I've told you many times, I was raised Baptist. And baptism was a significant part of being raised Baptist. You know what I'm saying. Was a significant part of being raised Baptist. And I still remember stepping up to what was the water as you were going down into it. And I remember saying, I was 9 years old, and I remember saying, I can't swim. I remember that. And I remember the pastor saying, hold on. Who said that? I remember the pastor saying, hold on. And he took my hand and said, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he pushed me under the water and brought me back up. I remember being baptized. But you know what I discovered? It is very possible to go in a dry sinner and come out a wet one. We're talking more than just the water, but we're talking about the water. It is the water in the form of having accepted Jesus Christ into our life. It is the water in the form of what Jesus said, to come and to know of me is to know of living water. And if you drink of it, you will thirst no more. To know of this water is to know of water that says, yes, yes, I have been baptized. To know of this water is to know of the rainbow. I came in to practice my sermon. I'm not afraid to say that. And as I was practicing, I just looked up and I saw these windows. I saw them. And you know, this was something special because I've looked at them for this year and a half, but there was something just special about them. You can't help but look at them. Is that right? You can't help but look at them. Something clear as glass, that's all right, but when you begin to talk about color, and you begin to identify with the color, you can't help but look at them. God says to Noah, I want you to look at it. I want you to look at it. Now, it doesn't mean that the rain won't come. It doesn't mean that the clouds won't come. It doesn't mean that everything will be fine, everything will be all right. It doesn't mean that. Within our life, we're going to know some clouds. Within our life, we're going to know of some tears. Within our life, there will be death. In our life, there will be hard times. In our life, we will say, why me? We'll know about all of that. But it is in those times. Look for the rainbows. Look for the rainbows. Look for the way that God is working within your life. Something about faith, isn't it? Something about faith. Something about water. You know, I said I was a little nervous not being up there, but you know, this is all right. This is all right. I can see your faces a little clearer. This is all right. Because you are a people of great faith. Of great faith. And all that our church may be experiencing now, has experienced, and in the days to come will experience. There are rainbows, aren't there? Thanks be to God. Amen.